us, our listeners spend countless hours every week taking care of loved ones. But most probably don't have an estate plan. Sampson McPhee Lawyers can help.
Estate planning allows you to make the big decisions now, like who will take care of your kids if you pass away, and allows you to control how your assets will be distributed and managed.
Estate planning is extra important for parents, common law partners, and people with blended families.
Call Kelly at Sampson McPhee at 902-563-5906 to find out about special pricing for our listeners.
Julie Cole is a recovered lawyer, mom of six, and co-founder of Mabel's Labels. She is an award-winning entrepreneur, best-selling author, and sought-after speaker and MC. Julie is no stranger to the media, having appeared on NBC's The Today Show, HLN's Raising America, Breakfast Television, The Marilyn Dennis Show, CP24, among many others. Her articles have appeared in The Huffington Post, Today's Parent, The Globe and Mail, Profit Magazine, Working Mother Magazine, and numerous websites.
When she's not juggling her busy family and professional life, Julie is an engaged community member serving on boards and volunteering. She is passionate about women's issues, mentoring young entrepreneurs, and social justice.
Let's welcome Julie around the morning meeting table.
We are not worthy.
Now we can add the morning meeting podcast to that very impressive list of media appearances.
I don't know if she's going to be adding that one to her bio.
We'll be adding it to ours.
What a hoot. I love it.
Oh, funny.
Hi, Julie. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Julie.
Oh, I was so excited I said hi to Julie first.
Oh, I
that's
feel
quite
so
okay.
I feel so honored. I got the first hello.
You got the first nod. Hi, yay. Julie Cole. Welcome hello. To the morning meeting.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. You guys are so much fun. High
we
energy.
Are so glad to have you. Are you kidding me?
Yay.
We were just going through Julie's track record on podcasts, and she has some pretty big names that should thank her for coming on their pod early on. So Jess and I are hoping third time's a charm. Knock on wood. We'll be the next ones.
You got it. I have a good feeling about this.
We'll take that little audio bite and we'll play that years to come.
There's your t-shirt. You have a t-shirt already. Usually through the episodes, we're always like, that's a t-shirt saying.
Awesome. You'll have to, we'll get that as your merch.
That's
there you
right.
go.
And
love
we'll pop
it.
Some labels on that merch so that
you
we know whose is who.
Yeah.
Some Mabel's labels.
You got it.
Okay. Well, we have so many questions for Julie that we don't even know where to begin, but we'll start at the very beginning. And Julie, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? We know a lot about you already because we just are obsessed, but tell our listeners a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Sure. Okay, so yes, my name is Julie Cole. I'm the co-founder of Mabel's Labels. I'm a parenting contributor and I'm a mom of six. And a little bit about me. So yeah, I wasn't planning on being an entrepreneur. I'm not sure I was planning on having six kids, but we can talk about all that. But I'll tell you a little bit about the start of Mabel's Label. So it is, we just had our 20th birthday, which feels ridiculous. I know. And we started it for a couple of reasons. I started it actually with my sister and two friends from university who went on to marry my brother and my young uncle. So we're friends and family as the four co-founders. And we started it because there was a product missing from the market. There were no good, durable, personalized, cute labels out there. So as good entrepreneurial mamas that we are, we were like, interesting. Let's think about what we can do about that. Solve a problem, right? Fill a gap. Find people are always like, how do you come up with a good idea? I say, go through the day, find something that pisses you off and fix it.
I love that.
So that was the first reason. And then the second reason really was I had done my undergraduate degree, then gone on and did my master's, then I went to law school. So I was doing the lawyering thing. And my eldest child had just turned three and he already had two younger siblings. So it was already a busy household, but he was diagnosed with autism. And I felt like at that point that I really needed to, you know, leave the traditional workforce, focus on programming for him, advocating, immersing myself in the community, educating myself, and maybe paying attention to his younger siblings at the same time. So I thought, you know what? Maybe now's the time to do this label company. So I said to my co-founder pals, hey, what do you guys think? And we're like, let's go start the car. And 20 years later, here we are.
Wow. That is such a neat story.
Every time Jess and I are able to actually get out and go somewhere together, we text each other, start the car.
Yeah, it's happening.
Oh, I love that you just said that.
Love it. Hashtag.
Yeah. Start the car. Sorry, Jess.
No. And it's just so fun. Like everyone seemed eager and excited at the same time. Like that worked out well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The timing did align because of course they were also young moms who were, I mean, you know, how many women have got a side hustle going, or during COVID, a lot of women, like 70% of women had this like side thing going, and women are extremely entrepreneurial and women are still carrying the load in their families. Families are not running as democratically as they should. So women are the default parent. They are doing all, worrying about all the things. And I'm not just saying that, like I'm not down on dads. I'm just stating
right,
the facts,
right,
man.
Facts, yeah.
So our careers get impacted and our lives seem to get very impacted by motherhood, which is why you see this trend in women entrepreneurship. And so the other partners were also a little itchy to do something different. So the timing did work for all of us. Now, people did think with four of us, they're like, what are you thinking? You know, you've got, you're a lawyer, you're a teacher, you got, you're a financial planner, you're a graphics manager. Like we all had JOBs that paid and did all those things. And, you know, it's like, wait, you're leaving all of that to make labels in your sister's basement till 2:30 in the morning or whatever. And it's like, yes, yes, we are.
Yeah. And Sarah and I often have this conversation of like the push and pull, right? Of like,
yeah.
You know, I have a little boy. She has three boys. We'd love to work, but we also love to be at home. We both have our own businesses. I'm a sleep consultant. She's a communication expert. We have this podcast. So it's like, we always say to other, is this when we quit our jobs?
I know. But it's hard to know.
We love our jobs and we love it. Like I'm going back to school to be a social worker. Like it's such a push and pull because we love to learn and we love to be out and educating others and serving our communities in that way.
I know. You know what? And it's like, when is go time, right? And also the push and pull around, like I didn't get help. Like I didn't, like with my kids, and that was really silly. But in my mind, I'd convinced myself, well, I left the traditional workforce so that I could be with my kids and do this during nap time and when they go to bed and during play dates and whatever. So why would I get help with my kids? And honestly, I did get a nanny, a full-time nanny, when the fifth kid was about to turn one. And that was three kids too late.
That line made me laugh out loud in your book, Julie, because I was like, that is so true. That is three kids too late.
It is. And I mean, I know you with the twins have a hard time even remembering the first 3 months after their birth. And that's what happens. And we're not bringing our best selves to anything we're doing. We're in a brain fog. We're so sleep deprived. We're not making memories. And it's, you know, it's just not healthy for anyone. And I think that is a mistake that I made. So I would encourage people, women, to get the help that you need so that you can enjoy this journey. And I know, like, I get that it's expensive and things like that, but you know, I do joke in my book about if I think everybody needs a cleaner. And if you don't have a cleaner, then feed your kids more Kraft dinner. You know,
yeah. Like Daniel, like, are you listening to Julie?
Oh, 100%. It's cheaper than a marriage therapist, right? So just to do the basic thing. So don't be afraid to get help. Don't leave it too late like I did. But knowing, you're right, Jess, like knowing when to pull the plug on when you leave work. And that's hard to know. And we had a really tough time between the four of us because one, the teacher, she was on a mat leave when we started, and then she extended her mat leave, and then she extended again. And I think finally the baby was really like starting school, and the school board's like, okay, now look, you've had 4 years of mat leave. Are you coming back or not? But luckily at that point for her, we were deep enough in that we're like, okay, this is going to work, right? But she would have been so scared to give up her day job after 2 years when we weren't necessarily 100% confident, and my other partners as well. And it's funny because the moment we defined, like our moment that we arrived and success was actually when the fourth partner quit her job. That was when we felt, okay, we've arrived, because at that point we could each draw a little bit of salary that was able to make us contribute so that we didn't have to go back to work. That was a milestone.
It is a milestone. And I think, you know, it's funny when you hear the people or the naysayers or the people saying like, you're really leaving your jobs. I think you talked in your book about your grandfather or someone being
are
you
grandpa?
Crazy?
Yeah.
But you'll always have that. And it's really important to kind of know what's guiding you and that your decisions might not be right for everyone. And I think that's true in parenthood too, right? Like I know some people will say, you're so busy or you take on so much. And I can't tell if it's a compliment or a criticism sometimes. And I think, well, it doesn't matter which way they're sending it, because I know that I can balance it. And when something doesn't feel right, you have to work through that. If it's your guilt over missing work or guilt over missing something with your kids,
it's the long game, like the long picture. Like, you know that you will pick that up. You'll pick that ball up in another way at some other point. And I think it's reminding ourselves of that sometimes.
Right. And I do think, hard. To your point, like with my grandpa and when people say things like that, do you always consider the source? Like, is this a source that you trust? Is this a source that you, do you actually value their opinion? Because if you don't, then you don't need to take that on board. You know, I have mentors that I trust. I have friends that I trust, but some person on Twitter who was just like squawking about something, like, am I going to let that? And like, even for my grandpa, like, of course I value his opinion, but look at the source. Where's it coming from? He's a wartime immigrant.
Yes,
of course.
Exactly.
He
Security.
Was like,
yeah.
He arrived on a boat from Ireland and was like, I need to feed 8 humans and I need to, you know, he worked 3 jobs. All he wanted was stability. And so he's like, all you girls have all these education and stability. What are you thinking? So he ended up, of course, being so, so proud. But again, considering that source of where it's coming from, his lens was a 90-year-old immigrant. Ireland looks a lot different to like my suburban, got to go to do like a little privilege to do degrees. And the fact that I could even, to speak to privilege for one hot minute again, the fact that I could even drop out of the workforce to start the business comes from a place of privilege. And I do like to acknowledge that, because a lot of people are like, you're so brave. You're so brave. I'm like, I'm not as brave as that single mom with 3 kids who's slaying like 3 jobs and also creating a side hustle. Like, I was in a household where the other income was enough that we could cover my son's therapy. I mean, we were not living large. We were not going on vacations and no fancy cars or anything like that, you know, but the fact that I can do it, I'm like, not that brave.
Yeah. I think still brave, but I think it's important to recognize that privilege. You're right. Like, to know that your starting point is different than maybe some others. It's true.
And there are like also, I think, sorry, just because, you know, people are always like serial entrepreneurs. And the thing too is like, the stakes aren't as high. Like, if you've already sold a company, the risk is lower to start a company because you probably have like $300,000 you can just blow on. And if it doesn't work out, oh, well, I've still got my holding company and my trust funds and my blah, blah. So, you know, when people are like, look how brave they are, they've done 5 different companies. Well, it's because their stakes aren't as high. So I just think it's also important to remember that.
Yeah, you're pulling back the curtain on that a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
Let's do that, right?
Yeah. I think Grandpa too comes from not only his experience, but he also probably feels a level of protection over all of you. Like, if he doesn't say that out loud and something goes wrong, right? I think that, I know I even see that in my dad sometimes when we try new things. It's like, are you sure? Can you do that? I remember I was speaking at a conference once and my dad was like, I could hear him be like, does she know what she's going to say? And what if, you know, what if it's not right? And my mom had to be like, she teaches
this.
A living, Aubrey. Like, the last 13 years, she's been teaching this.
You know what? You know now as a parent,
Yes, I understand.
Like, yeah, as an adult parent, you're still like, I have adult children and you still are like, are they doing their job okay? Like, I hope they're doing, I hope that, you know, like one messaged me today and he's like, mom, I'm really sorry. I got a speeding ticket for $50 and I tried to pay it and I couldn't pay it online. I'm like, oh, it's okay, bud. We'll sort it out when you get home. He's like, but I'll pay it because I was the one who broke the law.
I wish like, speeding tickets were $50 in Canada.
Yeah.
Or Nova Scotia.
I know. He's in Northern Ontario. That's why I'm like, it wasn't that bad because I'm pretty sure Daddy has had a speeding ticket for like hundreds and hundreds.
I was just going to say $300.
I almost got compounded once.
Well, he must not have been going that fast. So that's good.
Exactly.
A disobeying signs, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. He took responsibility. But, you know, I think as parents, it is something that you always concern about. You want them to feel success, but also everybody has a different appetite for risk, right?
Exactly.
Yes, that's right.
And I think too, it didn't come from a lack of confidence. It came from just overprotection, right? Like not wanting, being scared of failure, not wanting us to experience it, not knowing what can actually come from that too. I have to backtrack a little bit to the get a cleaner because I have to double down on that. If you have the ability to do it, outsource. That's one thing we did when the twins came along is we looked into a cleaner and we never looked back. It was supposed to be like a temporary gift in that time period. And we were like, no, we're sticking with this because it just helps. If anything can help, let it help, right? Like if you can find anything in your life that you can get extra help in. I think it's important to explore that.
And say yes. You know, like people will say when I was having a baby, oh, what do you need for a present? I'm like, what I need is you to take these two toddlers out to the park for the afternoon. Yes. I don't need your stuff. I need your time. You want a present? Drop me off some meals. That's what would be great, or a gift card. I had a friend who just recently, believe it or not, she had five kids and then she went for number six and had triplets.
No. That is my biggest fear. That's what prompted my husband's vasectomy.
Fair enough. I mean, she was thrilled. When those boys, she had three boys, when they turned one, they're just two and a half now. She said that was the best year of my life. She loved it. But what I did do is I organized a meal train. So all of us mamas for a month signed up and we delivered dinner every night. And you know what? You say yes to that stuff.
That's a big gift. That's amazing.
Oh, she said, oh, it was so funny. One of her kids who's like six was like, Mom, when can we start that meal train again? That was so much fun. She's like, yeah, that's not happening, Finn. That's that was when the triplets came.
And that is funny.
I'm like, who doesn't want meal train?
Seriously. Wow. Can we sign that up with like toddlers too? How do we get that going? Yeah. It's true though. Don't be a martyr, right? You can.
Don't be a martyr.
Yeah. You can let some of it go.
100%. And that goes too also like for your kids. Like when you had the ceremony, the twins, like, okay, so maybe your toddler's watching too much TV. Who cares?
Nothing I ever cared about.
Maybe, no. Like, you know what? We're not our best selves right now. We're just in survival mode. If they have hot dogs for dinner, the craft dinner, whatever, just don't beat yourself up because the kids are fine. They're going to be fine.
They're going to be fine. It's They're so going to be fine. Yeah. I always like to remind myself if I'm having like a, oh, I could have been a better mom today moment. I look back and my parents were wonderful, but like, you know, we weren't drinking our whatever ounces of water every day. We were drinking the Kool-Aid we were making with the sugar and the, you know.
Like, we're fine.
Like, we're all fine.
We were largely, I'm super honest, like my parents were amazing too. But I mean, my mom likes to brag that she never had to take us to the emergency. I'm like, yes, you did. I have scars that prove that you did. But you just were like, you're fine. We'll put a band-aid on that.
So true.
Maybe they had it right.
Maybe they had it right.
That's right. That's right. Well, my mom still says like this video monitor, what's this? Like, why do you have to see them? You don't even have a monitor. Like, you know,
I do have to admit for me, people I know check on their babies. I never checked on them. Like, why would I take the chance? They're asleep. If something's gone wrong,
walking the door.
Now isn't going to help. I might as well sleep well. Like, I'll need it. Sounds awful.
I love it.
Yes. Anyway. Okay. Jess.
Sorry, Jess.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to know about like, so six different kids, all different personalities. How does one navigate that for everyone listening right now that's in the thick of it all, right?
Look, a couple of things I'm going to say. It's the fun part. If every kid was the same and I parented them all the same, I feel like that'd be a little bit boring. Every time I had a new one, I'd be like, what are you going to bring? And they are all so different. And, you know, it's funny. Something my mom said to me was that I never treated you guys the same because you're not the same. And to treat the same would not be treating you with equality, actually. There's a huge difference, right? Like my kids have different needs at different times. And I respond to that. And I think that's okay. And you have to remember that you can't, people will be like, well, you know, I spend $300 on each kid at Christmas. I'm like, well, my kid only wants something for $50 and that kid wants something for $300. So I'm not going to level up and spend another $200 unnecessarily on the kid who just wants one Lego set. I'll get a, you know, maybe a little chocolate thing with their name, with their letter, or a little Thomas train or something, whatever. Babies get diapers for Christmas around this house.
That's right.
So I don't feel like we need to do that. And I'm very comfortable with it. But I also want to say for all of you, because I know you two are also in this space. I know people say bigger kids, bigger problems. I want to say baloney. It's way easier.
Really? First time I've ever heard it.
It's so much easier. I mean, my tea's always hot. I eat more than bread crusts for lunch. I get a full uninterrupted night's sleep. I mean, I didn't sleep for 10 years, right? Like I had kids in diapers for, when I think about when the last one was toilet trained, the first one was 12 years, 4 months, 29 days old. So for that many years, I was changing diapers for one, two or three kids. And it's a lot of packing. It's a lot of somebody's always sick. You know what it's like. And now they just, I mean, my youngest is in grade 8. This is my year. I have somebody graduating from grade 8 high school and university.
Wow. triple yes. threat.
I know. So number four goes off to university. And then next year, number five goes off to university.
Oh my God.
So
wow.
The drop in life flies. And you know what? Like, I just think, look, teenagers can be tricky. I get it. And you can be the best parent ever and your teenager can be a little goof. My experience, though, has been like, if you just keep communicating with them, if you just are honest with them, if you just keep that going and value them, and like my kids just, they just don't roll their eyes or slam their doors. Like, I don't have to ground them. They don't do things that are annoying enough. Look at my kid. He gets a ticket and he calls me to tell me because he's not going to get in trouble. My kids don't get in trouble for things. They don't get grounded for things. We have a conversation. They're like, okay, what did we learn from this? We autopsy it. What went well? Even better if. And that also protects you from your kids lying to you because they're not trying to hide things from you because they're not afraid of your reaction, right? So I just feel like that's been the best way that's worked with my kids. So if maybe if you do that, if you make it safe for them to be honest, if you create a safe home for them to be who they are, their friends to be who they are. I mean, I have kids who are neurodiverse. I have kids who are queer. I have kids who are everything and I love it. And their friends come over and they can be whoever they are too.
Yeah. And I love that you say all that because I think in today's world, there's so much out there on like parenting styles and parenting strategies. And I feel like they go through like phases, like fads, like this is the parent's trend, you know, attachment and whatever. And I struggle so much with that because I'm like, I feel like my parenting style changes depending on the day, like depending what my child needs in that moment. So like, I find it all a bit to be hocus pocus if I'm being honest. I just feel like it's important to just take everything with a grain of salt and just do what works for you and never mind the blogs. Like, okay, if you do need to read something, sure, but don't live your life on it.
You know what? It can be, you know, motherhood and entrepreneurship can both be very lonely and overwhelming. And I do think like sometimes moms just need to step away from the noise and remember that you actually have instincts. And you're the expert in your family. You're the one most qualified and best qualified to make the decisions when it comes to your children and to remember that and have confidence in that. And I do think like it's nice to have that parenting space to be talking and find camaraderie and have a few laughs. But I also think you need to step away in situations where sometimes you're seeing following somebody on Insta or TikTok and they're a bit negative about motherhood, you know? And I've had a couple of young moms tell me that they've had to stop following quite big influencers because it started making them feel bad about their journey as a mom. And I was so glad that they recognized that and then unfollowed so that it wasn't getting in their brain space and it wasn't impacting their mental health. And I think this kind of self-awareness is so important when there's so much content to digest and so much out there.
Exactly.
Right, Sarah? Like, I mean, yes. You must know this, right?
Yeah. For every style you read or find, you'll find the counter style for that with just as much content behind it, right? So it is like finding it, what works for you and works for your kids. And I think too, it's not only the negative, but the overly positive ones too, that just like, it's a fairy tale all the time. Bullshit. Who are you trying to kid? Like,
is anyone
any parent knows?
That?
No. And, well, you said it in your book, but, and I think you compared parenting and entrepreneurship in the same way. Like when it's romanticized, it's inauthentic. Like it's not, there's perks to it sometimes. Of course, there's lovely moments and cuddling a newborn and smelling them like great. But like then they puke on you and cry and won't sleep. And
I've had a child puke in my mouth. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
They're, you know,
every newborn has either peed or pooped on me the moment they were born. So
but
like,
you're right about the romanticism, right? Like people think, oh, you know, TED Talks and podcasts. And book deals and whatever. And it's like really like making labels in a basement, dingy basement at till two and then getting up. And that's like parenthood. You can go through Instagram feeds with all these, like the white backgrounds and the white sheets. I'm like, I don't know where they're getting their sheets, but my sheets are not that way.
I honest to God was scared to put this white shirt on today because I'm drinking. Because I was like, it won't survive. This won't survive my house. And then I remembered my kids are gone for an hour. So I was like, this is my chance, but don't wear it now. And then I poured tea and considered taking the shirt off again because I know myself. So yeah, I don't know how they keep their whole white houses clean. Beautiful.
Yeah, but. And I do. You're absolutely right. If you start, it's, you know, I say that comparison is a thief of joy. If you start feeling like, oh, this is impacting me negatively, you can silence people. You can unfollow people. You can take a break, you know, just you got to do what's right for you and your mental health and be protective about it.
And I think like allow yourself to grow and change. Julie, I know you must have experienced this with 6 kids and everyone with different needs and different wants and different stages of their lives at the same time. And I think as parents and as our kids grow and turn different ages, Jess and I were talking about this the other day, like 5-year-olds, we both have almost 5-year-olds. Mine just turned 5. Jess is about to turn 5 in 2 months. And it's like, what is this age? Like now we need to learn how to parent a 5-year-old. So you're learning all the time. And I think we have to remember it's not us. I was having a conversation earlier with a friend of mine and we both have kids similar ages. And I was sharing a story that one of the twins did. And she was like, I'm not happy that you're experiencing that, but I'm also very happy to hear it because I thought it was just me. Like I thought I was failing at this job and my kid was turning into this little like monster, but really no, they're just testing boundaries and it's nothing you aren't doing. You know, if we're doing it mostly right, then you're doing it. Exactly. And I think we can't argue against nature. Like we nurture, 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 but you can't nurture nature out of these kids. And like some of this stuff is just natural.
They do have their personalities. They do. Right.
I say the twins are like such a good little focus group for nature versus nurture because they were born at the exact same time, 9 minutes apart. They grew up in that same environment in the same year with the same older brother.
Same genetic material.
Same genetic, yes, exactly. And they could not be more different.
Yeah, so it's wild.
We parented them, I would say similarly at the start, but now we're learning we can't parent them the exactly same because they're two different kids. They need different things. They react to different types of parenting. One would needs a little bit more cuddling and the other one doesn't care if you cuddle them at all, you know? So like you have to respond to that.
But I love your point about how you think you just get a handle on it. Like, oh, I got a handle on the newborn stage. And then you're like, oh, wait, now they're babies. Wait, now they're toddlers. Wait, now they're preschoolers. Now they're, and the same with entrepreneurship. It's like, okay, now I know how to make labels when we have this many customers a week. Oh, wait, hold on. Now we have to hire people. Oh, now I got to learn about that. You know, I'm you get comfortable in your stage of parenting and your stage of business.
That's such a cool
and then that's all But here's the thing. Each is so enjoyable. Like there's so much to learn in each stage of growth, whether it's with your family or your business, that it makes it super fun. Like I thought I was a baby person. I thought I'm going to dread, you know, somebody who's like, you know, at one point you're going to have 5 teenagers. I was like, oh no, it was a blast. It was a blast. So, you know what? And it doesn't happen overnight. It's like, you know, how it happens so gradually. You just almost don't even know you're there.
Exactly.
So it is a bit like that.
So, that's so true.
I do say like to the parents of young ones, don't be afraid. It'll
yes.
be good.
Yeah. You got this. I think you that's so important to say because you don't want them afraid. To experience it themselves and you know they will. So you can't tell them, but you also do want to say like when they're really sad about that newborn stage ending, you do want to say like, it actually gets more fun in ways. Like it does get, it's still good. Like you're not losing your baby, you know?
I'm also really cognizant of not being like that whole, well, you know, the days go slow and the years go fast because when you're in those long days,
hate that.
When you're in those days, those are freaking long. And you're like, I remember my day. It wasn't like one day at a time. It was 20-minute chunks. I'd be like, in 20 minutes, that one will be fed. In 20 minutes, that one won't be bleeding. In 20 minutes, that one will be put down. A whole day was overwhelming.
Yeah, that's
for sure. And when that reel was going around of like, you only have 4,
12 Christmases. 12. Yeah, don't miss it.
That you're is not missing so it. Not helpful in the moment because the person that's writing that or making that is already out of those stages. So of course they can look back on that and be like, oh, the years are so short. Like, frig off. Like,
and then you're also just, you're. It's just making parents feel guilty about stuff. Like, what if parents aren't together and then you only get your child every second Christmas or what?
That's right.
And then, you know, then you're like, think about, parents don't need that crap.
No. And then people are sharing it being like, I feel so bad. I'm going to bed crying. And I'm like, no.
Don't.
Just and the sentiment might have been like positive
of
there,
course.
But I think it's like, I think we have to remember you're not missing it. You're drenched in sweat and you're experiencing every second of it. You might not remember it, but you're there. Like,
you're
trust me, you're there. You're a sweaty mess, but you're in
all
it.
All that is part of the memories too. Like I was just sharing on Twitter, somebody posted a funny thing about their kid thinking there was a big bird in the backyard and it was a gopher. And I shared how one time we were living in downtown Melbourne, Australia, and I was breastfeeding my third and my little toddlers were going out, coming back inside and we lived in our city, but we had a little backyard and they kept coming in and they're like, mommy, puppies, puppies, puppies. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then eventually I was like, why are they saying puppies? They had found a rat's nest.
Oh,
they were playing with rats.
No, they weren't.
Oh, yes, they were. Mom of the year.
So the kids are
parenting
all right.
Author.
I'm also roaring though, because of course you were just like,
all right.
Yeah. Like, you know, we'll say something and we'll just be like, yeah.
All
and then
all of a sudden
they're like, they have Vaseline all over their faces and you're just like, wait, what's happening? Well, you told me I could use this. And it's like, what? Like,
yeah. You know what is also funny about that story about our kids being different? My Spencer, which was interesting, the one who was feeding at the time, they had this very strange like habit as a newborn and it carried right on through. If they started feeding and it got interrupted, they wouldn't latch on, but they would be in hysterics for hunger. So I could never interrupt their feed. If they started feeding, I couldn't. And so when the kids kept coming in and say, puppies, puppies, I was just like, okay, but I can't stop.
Puppies, sure.
Because of that baby. And that was why also when I had Spencer and Mac had just gone through his diagnosis and I'm a big follow through-er, like I wouldn't say like, stop jumping on the couch because I wasn't in a position to follow through to make him stop jumping on the couch. So they just kind of had free reign while I was feeding because if I took that baby off, then I had a hysterical baby for 2 hours. So I learned that. So again, all these little nuances with all of our babies.
So true. Right?
I can't believe they were playing in a rat's nest.
Yeah. Oh, I know, right?
I can't believe it, but I can't believe it, you know?
Yeah. And yeah. Also like, and look where they're in there. Max, the one who just graduated from Guelph, he's just been back. Posey, I was up at 4 a.m. watching her play national level lacrosse because she's playing in Adelaide, wow, Australia right now. And I got to get up at 1:30. So I am still getting up at the night to kids, but I'm watching them.
Right.
I'm watching them play national lacrosse games on the other side of the world at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Those kids that played in the rat's nest. Look
you
at them.
Got it.
They're doing all right. They're doing all right.
Anchored Ideas is Kate Breton's leading marketing and communications agency. Known for their heart and hype, big dreams for Cape Breton Unimogi fuel their creativity. Here, there is no divide between business and community. Your neighbors and friends may very well also be your family. And when local businesses are doing well, we're all rising together. For these reasons and more, when the team at Anchored Ideas work with a client, it's personal. They're proud to be there for the big wins, the hurdles, and all the moments in between. They help you build your brand, define your difference, and connect you with those who matter. This signature heart and hype is the core of everything they do at Anchored Ideas. And we know firsthand that this team of powerhouse professionals are exactly who you need to speak to when trying to bring your vision to life.
Let's talk about your book, Julie. You wrote a book like a mother, birthing businesses, babies, and a life beyond labels. And it's I think this is the book. Like these are the type of books, these are the type of parenting advice and experiences that we share because they're so real and authentic and raw. And you don't BS your way through it. You're honest about it all, right? What made you want to write this book?
You know, it was a couple of things. It'd been in the hopper. Like the idea had been hanging around for a while. And I just thought, you know what? I've learned so much through this journey of entrepreneurship and being a mom and going through the autism stuff. And I thought if I can make one mama's life or one businesswoman's life a little bit easier, then why not? But the reason for the timing was that COVID, because I usually do so much travel for work or speaking at conferences and that sort of thing that I was landed, I was grounded, I wasn't going anywhere. So without the travel, I thought, you know, I do have this pocket of time. So maybe this is my side hustle. And of course, Mabel's Labels wanted me to write the story. A book is a modern day business card. You know, it is something to consider. So it was just the timing was perfect.
That's amazing. You know, COVID, we say it a lot. It was terrible and awful, but a lot of good came out of it, right? It gave people time to recalibrate.
It sure did. And like for me, it was wild because like my first two kids, you know, you guys didn't have homeschooling ages, but I did, but mine were all a little bit older. I had trouble with my youngest who has ADD and ADHD, but the oldest two got sent home from university. So I had six kids back in the house. So what I did with my youngest was I just selected, he would do, you know, the math and the language and stuff like that. But the teacher wanted them to do a virtual tour of the San Diego Zoo and rented Bun Animal. I'm like, no way, we're out. So a sibling would sign up and sit with him for each of the assignments or the period so that he could stay focused. By the third shutdown, he didn't need that. He could do that totally on his own. But the beautiful thing too was I had the six of them home. So they were playing Dungeons and Dragons together, in the pool together, having movie nights, playing euchre, playing all the things. I'm like, oh, six kids, finally, it's my time to shine. Yes. This is why I had six kids. COVID. They have their own live-in peer group.
Amazing.
We would go on hikes and get dirty looks because people thought that we were, I actually had a friend make me a
fighting
sign.
Bubbles.
Yeah. I had a friend made me a t-shirt that said, yes, they're all mine. So that people would stop sending me judgy looks.
That is hilarious.
Good times.
That is so true.
Oh my God.
And what a unique time. Otherwise, they wouldn't all be together like that.
It was a bit special. Yeah.
I'm really interested in the partnership. And Jess and I talk about this a lot. You know, you talk about starting Mabel's Labels in your sister's basement with your sister and your two friends who are now related, married into the family. And you talk about having those fierce conversations around the table, but then having to go to the cottage for the weekend and you had to protect those relationships and those boundaries. And I think working with friends and relatives, how you balance relationships to maintain interpersonal connections. I'm interested in how you all did that. Jessica and I talk a lot, like since we talk every single day. And since we started the podcast though, sometimes we forget that we were friends first, Jess, I think, right? Like a lot of our conversation is like, we got to do this and you got to do this and that task and what's our plan and the schedule. And we forgot to be like, hey, my kid just chucked Legos down the stairs and I just, how are you? What's up this weekend? What's going on in your marriage? Like, you know, we forget sometimes, I think, Jess, is that fair to say?
100%. And when we started the podcast, it was a hobby, right? It was just for a hobby. And now we're seeing a totally different side of things where it's becoming more than that. And so we're having to have more difficult conversations. We're having to make decisions quickly. We're having to, and our personalities are very different. Like Sarah and I couldn't be more different, which is why I think our friendship blossomed the way it did. But when we're working together, there's some things where I'm like, how can you not decide on this, right? Like, was taking so long to decide, but if she wasn't indecisive, then I would be too impulsive. Like,
right. That's the great thing about co-founders is that you can have like, you can balance out the skills. Like one can be like super entrepreneurial and be like, ideas. And one will be like, hold on. I know you think I'm a bit of a joy kill, but we need some process behind this.
Right.
So we got the starter and the finisher. And that's great because if the starter is alone, then you got all this stuff that doesn't get tied up. And if the finisher is on their own, then they're full of process, but they don't have anything to work with. So we really recognize that we have those different personalities and we tried to utilize them best we could. We tried to utilize our different skill sets and we practiced and worked on our communication. And we did a lot of work around what kind of personalities we are. Like kind of things like Myers-Briggs, whatever, how do we best communicate with each other? How can we be most effective, like personally and in the business? So I think there's always work to be done in that, but there's a lot of advantages about having a co-founder, which is sometimes somebody to help with you with those blind spots.
For sure. Yeah. And I think too, like knowing your people so well, like I know exactly the way Sarah's thinking when she's talking to me based on her communication, like no, she's not saying it. I know. And sometimes I don't bring it up and I'm like, I know what she's feeling right now. So I have to like,
ditto.
Right. And I know Sarah always knows, like we were just texting earlier and I was sending her messages and then all she said back was breathe.
Yeah.
Like she just knew, right? Based on like, like you kind of like when you're that close with someone, you know without knowing, I guess.
It is funny though. I love what you said about like, sometimes you forget your friends. Cause I remember in our early days, Mabel's Labels, this is 20 years ago. And we had a lot of like our baby cousins who were getting married, right? Cause they were like 10 years younger than us. And people always said at every wedding, like the four of us would just noodle off to a table and plan.
Yes.
And I remember one of my uncles coming over and being like, are you all allowed to be in the same room? Like what happens? And we're like, we're not the Kennedys. We're not the
room. Yeah. Are you traveling in different vehicles?
Exactly. Eating in different restaurants.
Yeah.
Did you find it hard? Like, would you go to the cottage those weekends and talk about Mabel's Labels?
We did, but we were okay with it because we loved it. You know what it's like in those early days? Like, we were so passionate about it. Like it was our passion project and
it didn't feel like work.
It didn't. It felt like just something super. It's like talking about your kids. You don't get sick of talking about them, right? Like, it's just things you're passionate about. It's almost like your co-parent, right? Like you can talk to them about anything stupid going with your kid and they don't get bored. They're like, and then what? And then what? Yeah. And then you're like, then their poo is green. And they're like, no.
Yeah.
You can tell them that because they have that shared interest, just like your co-founder.
Yeah. Right. That's so true.
You're bonded. You're trauma bonded.
You're trauma bonded.
It's true. Right. Jess, it's funny because if you think about it, we had kids at the same time. Well, Jessica and I met later in life. So we didn't become friends until we were in our late 20s, really. And it just clicked so quickly, right? But we had our kids at the same time and we had to remind ourselves if we went out to dinner after that, we'd say, okay, we're talking about the kids for 10 minutes and then we're not talking about them again. Because otherwise we would just spend the whole hour talking about the kids when it was our hour away from them or whatever. Right?
I will tell you, I'm not sure if I wrote about it in the book. I can't remember now about my grandma's rule. So my grandma had a club of old Irish women, and they called themselves the investment club. I don't know. I don't think they did any investment, but the rule was nobody was allowed to talk about their children. And she passed that advice along because I have a group of friends from years ago. Like, we've been friends for 35, 40 years. And we would try to go to the cottage once a year for the weekend, just us. I mean, it was hard to do it every year, but they were actually the ones when we started Mabel's Labels, we had a weekend away and they stuffed envelopes the whole time. They were the best. These are your Amazing. Friends, your girls, right?
Yes.
But grandma did say, look, because we came back from the first one after we started having kids. And she's like, what should you guys talk about? And we said, oh, well, you know, the kids, and this one's kid is a, she's like, nope, next year, you guys don't talk about the kids or get it over with. Like you say, you get an hour and then that's it. Because also we have three friends who never had children.
Right.
And when I implemented the rule and sent it out, they were like, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, we love your kids, but
we don't want to.
We can only smile
them.
And nod for so long.
That's right.
And look at pictures of them. And really, yeah. The only people who are really interested in your kids are you.
Yes. And unintentionally, that sidetracks the promotions and the races run and the, you know, all
exactly.
the other things that we should be celebrating, but we don't throw showers for, or we don't
exactly.
have that credit for.
Exactly.
And it's like, come on, you try to be cognizant of it, but sometimes this is your first time out in public and you forget how to socialize and you're like, my kids. And then you're like, shit. You know, they're not, they're important, but there's other important things.
There
too,
are. And it's important to remember that. It's yeah. important to remember that. And I find, like, for women, particularly, like, you know, if you pour so much into your kids, then they're gone. What's left? You have to make sure you're not. And I see that too with business owners. Like, a business gets acquired. If they define themselves as that business, they have an identity crisis. What am I now? If not,
yeah,
this? So we need to make sure we're filling all the different
cups.
Oh, we got lots of cups, ladies, not yes. one or two. We should have five or six
we
cups
have
going.
Yes. We got a lot of cups right now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Fill them up. It's okay. Let's talk about that, Julie. Like, how do you celebrate 20 years of Mabel's Labels? Like, how do you, does that
it
sink
was awesome.
In?
Yeah.
Do you recognize it after the fact? Are you cognizant of it in the moment?
Like, it's
what
pretty
does that
wild.
Look like?
So we had a huge celebration through the month of March. We also had just done a massive renovation and our headquarters looks divine. It's like 20,000 square feet of Mabel heaven. It's gorgeous. So we had a big influencer event at Mabel HQ. We had a big party where people from the past came, our families came, and really we were celebrating our staff. We had sales all month long. We went and knocked on the old basement doors, loved where we started
Amazing.
Off. We did tours. So we ran a ton of awesome content around it. But the thing for me that really struck, and it was a little bit like when you've grown up watching it, you just see it every day, but it was people who, I remember my friend Allison Crane and Scott Stratton came, and they are from Unmarketing. That's their company. I'm sure you've read all their books. They're amazing. So they came, and Allison, I gave them a tour of the production facility, and Allison was like, Julie, the first time I was in your office, there were two wooden tables.
Wow.
Right. So seeing it through their eyes, like when people came and they hadn't been for a while, seeing it through their eyes is like when your old uncle's like, oh my God, you've grown like a weed.
Yes.
How did this happen?
Yes, exactly.
We experienced the equivalent of grown like a weed, like wow. Mabel's Labels. So yeah, it was
incredible.
Pretty wild.
Where does the name Mabel come from?
It was just branding. Honestly, we wanted a character that would be feisty and fun that we could personify. And we wanted something that would be memorable. And it worked.
Mabel's Labels.
It's worked. It's totally worked. Yeah, I love it.
Also, I think has a language is my jam, like words and language. I love it. I do a lot of my work in it. And I feel like, well, A, Mabel's Labels, it just rolls off the tongue. But it also, the name Mabel has such a warm connotation to it, has such a trusting connotation to it. Like, you trust a Mabel, you know?
Yeah,
you love
exactly.
a Mabel.
She's like your grandma.
You
yeah. So she's like your grandma. Or then some people after we did it were saying there was something from an old TV show. The kid was named Mabel and it was mothers always bring extra loving.
Oh.
But now it's fun because I love names. And of course, Mabel's Labels, because we see so many names. It's so much fun seeing the resurgence of names like Mabel and Ruby and Harriet. And like a lot of that fun stuff's coming back, right?
Yeah. So
we just got our
Mabel's
Labels.
You must see so many names.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that coming through Mabel's Labels. You see so many.
We see so many.
Just got your labels.
Just got our Mabel's Labels. Logan was so excited.
Aww,
so we went with
it.
Like the name and like, oh, well, they all have names on them, but there's different like ones you can order. So we got the ones with the first name, last name, and then ones which is like the L. It was like a split pack or something.
Right.
Anyway, cute. He loves them all. He's obsessed and he couldn't wait. We ordered his lunchbox because he's starting grade primary in August. Aww. And he put the label on all by himself. Like he was so pumped. And the whole time I just kept thinking like, please move to the center. Please move closer to the center. And he didn't, but it's okay. It's, yeah. It's on there and it's staying on there. Like I said that to Sarah. I was like, these Maples labels are like, how are they so...
That's the secret like, sauce.
They're
thick.
Yes. And they're
the
like,
secret
they're
not sauce. Like, they do what we say. They are so good. Like that
I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. We've had moms calling us crying. Oh my God, my kid got into my Maples labels. And I'm like, you have to explain that these are not your stickers. These are not mommy's stickers.
That's right.
You have these little paper-based ones.
Yes.
But it is funny how they love it. We're always like, oh, don't worry. We'll send you some more.
He's so proud. Yeah. He's so proud because they have like the hockey stick on them and stuff. But
I love it.
He's like, I want to put my labels on my lunchbox. And I'm like, no, one label.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. When we get the rest of your items, you can put the other labels on those items. But he just
one
wanted
each.
To like, oh my God. And I'm like, well, I have the labels hidden because I'm like,
good.
These are very like, you know, important. We need to.
I've also had moms call and say, I hid the labels on my kids and now I can't find them.
That's me. That's
that
Sarah.
I've done that with my kid's wallet. He was like, I went out one time and I came back and he had bought Tim Hortons and a donut, a tea and a donut. I'm just kidding. I'm like, dude, until we have time to talk about this and we've got trust issues, are going to hide this there. He's looking at me. I'm going to find it before you go to Ottawa, buddy.
Yeah.
He's going on an Ottawa trip for his grade 8 trip on Monday.
Oh, fun.
Now I got to find
that grade 8.
Yeah. From here. Yeah, we took a bus to Ottawa.
It's a long ride.
Tell him not to use the iron. We were ironing hair at the time, me and four girls,
those days,
to straighten
those
our
days.
Hair.
Yep.
And one of us left the iron on and it burnt a carpet hole in the carpet. And we thought if we just put the garbage can over it, no one would notice that. So we got back on
our
bus at the end of the trip. This garbage can in the middle of the floor. No cleaner will move that. It's fine. And obviously they moved it. Our choir teacher gets back on the bus and he rhymes off all our names. He's like, get off the bus. And they're like, anyone want to tell us what happened? And we're like,
not me.
Yeah. We were fine. Awesome. They let us come home. But yeah, the
iron.
You
need a good grade 8 trip memory,
yeah,
right? There
exactly.
You go.
So tell him to be careful around the iron.
I don't think he'll be ironing anything.
Yeah. The labels are so amazing. I don't know about either of you, but there was something for me. It still hits me when I see my kid's name in print. Like it just, I remember getting their first piece of mail, like their health card or whatever came in the mail. And I saw their name in print and it was so special.
You're absolutely right, Sarah. And you know what? I think that is one of those little marketing things. It's like a warm hug that we never thought about, but parents love to see their own child's name in print, especially if their child has an unusual name and, you know, or a unique name. They do love it.
And also the child is very proud. The child is very proud to see. He was like, oh, my name is on all of these labels.
And I will say the other eco piece to this, which we love, is that we find that kids are actually showing a little more stewardship over their belongings when they're labeled. And parents, you know, are using, okay, so they're more likely to use reusable containers and not using those prepackaged sugary, salty, they're washing it out. So we've noticed a lot of great things. And especially for your little ones, like for the twins, Sarah, through COVID is we noticed parents really wanted them not as much for like the lost and found, but also the germ swapping. They don't want kids drinking out of other kids' sippy cups. So even if you have a pre-reader, they've got the hockey stick or the dinosaur or the whatever. So they can identify their own belongings and they know they only sip out of that.
Yes. Brooks knows his is B and Grady knows his is G. So any B or G, they think that's mine. And we did this to them. It's our own fault. But when they were babies, we put like anything Brooks had was blue. So his bowls and cups and whatever, his hats. And Grady was green, just so people would know which was which. G for Grady. So now if Brooks has the green cup, Grady says, that's my cup. Like, you know, it's green. Anything that's green belongs to Grady,
of course,
as far as he's concerned.
That's smart.
So yeah, it's funny. Yeah, there is. There's something really special about names, I think. Going back to the partnership and the business and the growth, you all sold Maples Labels. In what year was that?
It's got to be about 5 years ago, 6 years ago now. Yeah.
And how was that decision? Like, were you all on the same page? Did that take some time?
Yeah. I mean, it was a little bit out of the blue because we just got the call from Avery. But you know what? We had been at it for 14 years. And we were thinking, okay, what are we going to do next with it? You know, are we going to get a CEO? Are we going to get some funding? How do we want to bring it to the next stage? And really at the time, like a couple of us were thinking, oh, maybe I want to do something else now. It's been 14 years. This has been a fun ride, but... And so, you know what? It just worked out great because we got the price we wanted. They were keeping the Mabel brand the way we wanted. We were staying in our headquarters. Like it was all the boxes got ticked. So we just, you know, the four of us were like, yeah, let's do this. And yeah, and I'm the only one remaining. I'm still loving, everybody's off doing other exciting things, but I'm still loving being at Mabel's and being kind of the spokesperson and getting the word out there and doing a lot of PR and being in the space. So.
And that's your background, Julie, right? Like you took the public relations, right? You started in?
I did mostly, like not from a study perspective, but from when we, yeah, because I actually did education, my master's, and then I did law. But I've always been a very kind of PR inclined person. Always, you know, I was a kid who was like valedictorian, and I was a kid who was always doing the things and out there and blah, blah, blah. So it just made sense. Like when we started, we all, like I said, kind of slipped into where our natural talents were.
Yeah, that's so nice. You complimented each other so well. I can imagine that experience must be surreal while you're in that one. Like this is really happening. This major company is buying up. Like this is...
It was wild.
We define success in so many different ways. And I'm sure there was moments of success looking differently through those years, but that must have been a pretty big one to say like...
Yeah, it was pretty special. It's pretty scary going through the process, right? Because you can always get left at the altar and... These things, and it's quite a process going through due diligence, doing all that. I was nervous about how our staff would feel, but we explained it to them very well and they were all on board and honestly just congratulated us. The response was amazing. I mean, hey, create it, build it, scale it, sell it. Isn't that the entrepreneur's dream?
Right, exactly. And I think that speaks to the culture you all built too, Julie. You talk about this in your book and I think this is so important. I do some communication stuff in this and Jessica and I have had personal conversations about it, but to create a culture where your employees feel safe and valued and inspired and encouraged, I think we do have to kind of stray away from that standardized environment that we were all kind of brought up in, that 9 to 5 and you chain to your desk and whatever. Like that just is not the breeding ground for innovation.
It's really
not.
And
you talk about working that row, right?
Mm, the results only
work environment. And I think that's so important. Like I do my best work here at midnight. Like, you know, right. You're not getting the best of me at 10 a.m. in my desk.
Exactly.
At work.
And this was the thing. Like we knew this because this is how we created our business, right? So this is the unique thing about when you create a company is that you get to create the culture you want. And now there were times where we're like, are we doing this right? Should they be in from 9 to 5? Because that's what other successful businesses look like.
Like parenting. And are we doing this right?
Are we doing this right? Are we doing it? And I think, you know, when we didn't listen to our gut and we did what we thought we should be doing, that's when we weren't doing it right. And it was when we went back to letting people be entrepreneurial and not micromanaging and letting them do their thing. That's when the innovation came. And that's when you have retention too.
Right. Like,
they're happy. Absolutely. You want to get people that want to stay in your business. Turnover is very expensive for a company.
Yes,
so now we're just
now
we really just make sure that we have our core values baked into our interview questions so we get the right people working for us. And if it doesn't work out, we're a little quicker to exit than in the old days.
Right. And it's trust and reciprocity, right? Like if you build trust, they will return with loyalty. Like that is just
absolutely
so basic that we overcomplicate it so often, right? Like we almost like we take the human out of things so often, right? Or we feel like we're supposed to, when really it should be the reverse. Like if we just look
people
at
think,
each other
you know,
as humans.
Well, what will the workers do if you give them that freedom? And I'm like, well, my experience is if you treat adults like adults, they act like adults.
Right.
What? They work hard. Like why does their butt need to be at Mabel's Labels from 8:30 to 5:30 every day? And it's actually lazy management to be managing by presenteeism rather than productivity. So you should be checking, managers should be checking in, you should be goal setting weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly. They should be trickling down from your corporate goals. How is it like to just be judging by somebody by them turning up every day? That's no way to run your business.
I read a job description the other day and one of the things that it said was perfect attendance perks. And I was so put off by it because I was like, it's discriminatory towards like people who have chronic illness, people have...
You know what it is? It's patriarchal.
Yes.
There's no two ways of putting it.
This is crazy.
This is a workforce that worked for men because women were at home doing all the work.
That's
and
right.
And even now, because we're still doing it, is a very patriarchal method. And the people who suffer most and can't get far in the work environment and suffer most at home as a result of this patriarchal system are women.
Yes. It's
no offense
true.
Or buts.
They had it in there like it was like a great thing. And I'm like, this is terrible.
No.
Like if you have kids,
more like
punishment. If you have like mental health, concern. A million things went through my head where I was like, this is so like people going to work sick because they're
ableist.
Worried that if they
exactly.
Like,
it's very
my
ableist.
God.
Yeah. That's very
like, I don't
ableist.
Think I'm going to apply there. Not that I was applying for a job, but I was just curious at a job description, right?
Yeah.
I think about all the amazing employees and team members I know who suffer from like social anxiety or general anxiety disorders. So coming to the office isn't like their shtick, but guess what? Super effective. So why would I put them through that for nothing? Like it is totally ableist. That's the word, Sarah.
Yeah. It's a little bit unbelievable. And I think a really important point that I appreciate it because you do, even when you know better, you still go back and forth on that mom guilt does creep in and you try and kind of kick it out. And I love the fact that you said like, this isn't a new age thing. Like women have been busy their whole lives just with different types of work. So if you're working or you have a side hustle or you're pursuing a hobby or a goal outside of the home, you're not any more less present with your kids than moms were hundreds of years ago. They were just
that's
doing
right.
different things. They
that's
were
right.
like
they're
you said, they were
the
down at the river. Yeah.
Scrubbing.
Yeah, that's right. Like that. That really helped me give a visual of
we've
like,
got generations
yeah.
and generations of women who do not pay attention to their children.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not just us. Yeah.
It's not just
we're
us.
Never fine.
They never felt bad about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Away.
Yeah. And I love to kind of in the same vein, Julie, I saw you speak at the Advantage conference a few months ago and you told such an important story that I've been telling everyone who will listen about. I forget if you said it was related to your husband or not, but the dad at the hockey games, the two brothers who were playing hockey. Do you remember?
Right. Yeah. Football. Yeah.
Football. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
funny,
the freedom. My brain fills
right.
in hockey.
Yeah. The freedom of like the kids will take their perceptions and interpretations and come up with their own rendition of what was reality, whether it was or not. So let yourselves off the hook.
Right. Like the quick story is two brothers played on the same team and one brother remembers his dad being at all the games and one brother remembers the dad being at none of the games. They have very different memories of that. And like Julie said, chances are the dad was at 50% of the games, but they just had different relationships and different emotional attachment to those things, right? And like, they're going to remember it how they're going to remember it, whether you're doing your best or you're not. And I thought like, yeah, that is so true.
And that's why it's a little bit freeing because there's no point in us, because how, when they're 25 and 30 and come back to us and say, it might be entirely wrong, but we'll be like, okay.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
My siblings and I remember our childhoods differently. Like we're not that far apart in age.
Yeah.
So it's like, you just hold on to different
that's
things,
funny.
Right?
Totally.
It is freeing. Totally. Julie, we're respectful of your time. I have one question. Jess, I don't know if you have other questions you want to ask before we go, but another piece of advice you gave at that conference was eat the frog. Like what you dread, do it first. Oh my God, I need to hear that because I will
Did
procrastinate.
You? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Just from a productivity standpoint, we're all so busy and we have so much to do. So yeah, I do say eat the frog. The thing you want to do least, do it first, whether that's your workout, whether it's calling that angry customer, whether it's case notes. Yes, exactly. Just get it done because otherwise it's hanging over you all day and it's actually impacting your productivity. So
it's hanging over me, Julie. It's
hanging over me. Get her done.
Every day
good
advice. I'm like, I have so many case notes to catch up on. I don't want to.
But then also find a solution to that. Do you have to write them or can you scribe?
No, I have to write them.
Don't be so sure.
I could scribe. I could scribe and then like, because they have to go into like a system. So I could scribe and then copy and paste.
That might
there
be,
you, go.
You know what? I'm telling you, there are apps for that. I'm trying to think of the one because I remember when I was writing the book, somebody said, just scribe it. And I was like, right.
I'll have to look into that because
notability, maybe.
I was at a documentation, like presentation or whatever with one of the important people. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about like case notes and like how to best do it. And I think someone did bring that up. So we'll have to.
Brilliant.
Have to my
like
notes
you
up.
Just literally speak into it. And then the words come up in your computer. You can go and edit it. Copy and paste. And that also might take the dread away for you because you can probably just speak them so much more easily than
I wish I could like just record a meeting that I have with a client and then just upload it into case notes because it's like I have to have the meeting and then go back to my office and then type it all out. And
feels like double handling.
It is. And I'm like, oh my God. And it's just a part of the job. Like
it's like pumping and then bottle feeding.
Yes. Yes.
Double handling.
Yes. Right?
Right.
Anyway.
So much work.
It's part of my career. I just have to find a way to make it work because I'm going to be doing it for the rest of my life.
You know what you've done? You've just found your entrepreneurial journey. You found a pain point. You found something that pisses you off and you're going to fix it.
Fix it.
There you go, girl. You're going to create something. You're going to create an app. You're going to create something. And everyone in your line of business is going to love you. You're going to be a hero.
It's so true. You should have like 30-minute sessions you offer to people to be like, okay, let's go over. What's your problem? What's pissing you off? Let's find a solution. Yes. Let's go.
Yeah.
Because you just did that in like 2 minutes.
But sometimes you don't even know until you're talking, you know?
You don't, like, right?
That's, yeah.
Yeah. I love that you say that too, because there's been so many times since I've started parenthood journey of saying like, oh, a parent definitely created this. Like they definitely realize it's like the labels, right? You definitely noticed there's a gap in this market. These kids need this and they made it. And we're like, yes, we're so glad they thought of it, right? We're like, what can I think of that is it the gap in the parents market? Julie, what are the most important lessons? There's lots. We chatted about many of them, I think, in this wonderful chat. But what's one of the most important lessons that you made sure your kids know or that you want them to learn?
I think really it's just about raising good humans. My kids know they're not projects. They play hockey, not to go to the NHL.
Say that again.
I really do just want them to be happy. I want them to grow up and get out of my nest. I want them on my payroll. I want all that. And I do want them to be good humans. And that's why part of raising them, you know, we have been very deliberate about inclusivity. We have been very deliberate about philanthropy and what we do as a family around volunteerism and donation of our time, our treasures, our talents. And they've seen and been a part of that. So those are just family core values. And like we have core values at work, we have core values at home. And I think it's important to make sure that you and your spouse or partner or co-parent are aligned on those and that your children are as well, and that you integrate those into your family life.
I love that. That's a good advice. And that's the good way to end, everyone listening. Like,
everyone go buy Julie's
down
book.
And figure out, yes, buy the book, sit down and figure out what your core values are and like hold yourselves to those, make decisions based on that. Is it supporting the core values or not? It probably helps the decision-making process go a lot smoother and maybe quicker even.
Julie, for those listening, how do they get your book? They're like, I want a little bit more of Julie. That wasn't enough. What more?
Okay, so you can find out all about me, obviously, at mammalslabels.com/Julie Cole. And there you can see like my media stuff, my articles, my blog posts. You can order my book. My book's on Amazon. It's on all the major booksellers. Just go online to your favorite bookseller, go to Amazon. I think I've got the Amazon link or maybe my publisher's link on my mammalslabels.com/Julie Cole. And of course, follow me on Instagram at Julie Cole Inc., at Mabel's Labels, and in all the usual places I can be found.
And we'll link all of that in the episode notes. So if you're listening, it's just a click on the episode notes, scroll down, and you can find all that information there as well. The book is Like a Mother, Birthing Businesses, Babies, and a Life Beyond Labels. Julie Cole, you are such a joy. So lovely.
Oh, Sarah and Jess, thank you so much for having me. I loved it.
It was such a nice conversation.
It really was.
Yeah, I loved it. You're a pleasure to be. Well, I want to hang out.
Yeah.
I want to hang out in person.
Did we just become best friends?
I think we did. I want to come back to you. I want to come back to your part of the world. Oh, it was beautiful.
Did you get to go around the trail?
Jenna's great. We did the trail, but it was really quiet and cold. Everything was closed. It was the wrong time.
I want to come either in the summer or fall.
I'm coming back.
Yes, come back.
Let us know if you come back and we'll treat you to a dinner or something.
We would love to.
Yeah, we would love to do that. And if we're ever in your neck of the woods, we'll let you know too.
Please do.
Come visit Mabel Labels headquarters.
You will. We would love that. Give you a tour.
Yeah, sounds great. We'll see you soon. Thanks so much, Julie. Thanks. Take care.
Thank you for joining us around the table on this episode of The Morning Meeting with Sarah and Jess. If you're enjoying your time around the table, if you like what you're hearing, tell us. Tell a friend. Wherever you listen to your podcast, you can like and subscribe. You can rate and review. We would appreciate it. It helps us. Help us help you. Make sure to subscribe so you never have to miss another morning meeting. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.